Now we've got analysis from Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She is an author and nationally syndicated columnist. And Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Great to have you on, as always, folks.
Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, Donna, let me start with you. Senator Clinton was just blasted in North Carolina and barely got the win in Indiana. Does her argument to stay in the race still work?
Well, first of all, I think that Senator Clinton should stay in the race as long as she believes that she has a shot at winning the nomination. The math is pretty difficult at this point. Senator Obama not only leads in the delegate vote, but he's also leading in the popular vote. And even if she included both Florida and Michigan, Senator Obama would still lead in the popular vote. But the only metric that matter is the earned delegates. And there are 217 outstanding earned delegates in the remaining six primaries. And given the math, it appears that it's impossible. But given the state of the party, and when I'm talking about the psychology, and perhaps it's worth noting that if she stays in the race to help unite the party in the closing days of the campaign, it could be helpful and beneficial to the eventual nominee to have her in the race to the bitter end.
How so?
Well, I think her supporters are passionate. And there's a case that Senator Clinton can make, along with Senator Obama, that the Democratic Party offers better ideas, better solutions to our problems. And if she can campaign in the closing weeks because she's on the ballot and she would like to do a final stretch, fine. I see no reason to tell Senator Clinton to get out the race if her purpose in staying in the race is to help unite the party. If the purpose is to help damage the eventual nominee, Senator Obama, then you will hear calls from superdelegates and others for Senator Clinton to abandon her campaign. But I want to think positive, and as an undeclared superdelegate, my purpose is to try to, you know, get the party to come together at this hour.
Ron, let's listen to a little bit of Hillary Clinton last night in Indianapolis.
I know these stories, and I see you, and I hear you, and I know how hard you're working for yourselves and working for your families, and I will never stop fighting for you.
Now, Donna just said that it's actually good for the party to have her and her supporters still in the game, still hopeful. You may be on the other side of the aisle, but what do you think about that?
Look, I think every day that Senator Clinton stays in the race and doesn't coalesce and unify behind Senator Obama, it becomes that more of a challenge, and it will take a little bit more time for the party to unify. Look, Senator Clinton last night, she had a fellow behind her in Indianapolis who had a pair of boxing gloves up there on the stage, and she needed an upset knockout win in North Carolina. She needed something to continue the momentum that she had had in the press for the last couple weeks, to knock Senator Obama further off of his step in his game, as well as winning in Indiana. Well, what happened last night is that she got blown out by such a great extent there in North Carolina that Senator Obama was able to, in the popular vote at least, take away the advantage that she had had in Pennsylvania. So the arguments that she has to continue with only 217 pledged delegates left dwindle with each day. She can't make it up with the six contests, one of those in Puerto Rico, and she's not going to likely surpass him in the popular vote. So if I were advising Senator Clinton, and again, she said last night, and so did Senator Obama, that it's not about them, but it's about the future. If it's truly not about them, they need to do what's in the best interest of the party. But as a Republican, I'm enjoying watching the spectacle.
Now, Senator Obama seemed to be back on his game last night. Let's hear a clip from his North Carolina victory speech.
Yes, there have been bruised feelings on both sides. Yes, each side desperately wants their candidate to win. But ultimately, this race is not about Hillary Clinton. It's not about Barack Obama. It's not about John McCain. This election is about you, the American people.
So that's clearly a populist message, Donna. The bitter comment issue was big, and then it went away, and Reverend Wright came up, and it's maybe fading away. Do you think he's going to be able to use populist themes to get, frankly, you know, white working class swing voters?
There's no question that Senator Obama must neutralize Senator Clinton's advantage on the economy. What we saw last night, especially in, say, in Indiana, Senator Obama was able to make up ground white voters. North of Indianapolis, the largest city, Senator Obama won many of those counties. He improved with Catholics. He improved with white males. He's still having some difficulty with older voters, but by and large, I think Senator Obama's core message that he will change the way Washington works is a message that can resonate if he's able to have time to go into those communities and to really do what Senator Obama finally started doing, that is walk among the people. I think to the extent that they see him on the ground and not on stage, he really did well. He covered a lot of ground in 1 week.
Just quickly, give me a snippet of what you think about the swing voters, Ron.
The swing voters, I think it depends obviously on who the nominee is. I think if Senator Obama is the eventual nominee, it will be very interesting to see Senator McCain and Senator Obama vie for that very important constituency. But at this stage of the game, again, all the focus is on the Democratic side of the ledger, and they need a nominee, and they need one sooner rather than later.
Well, Ron and Donna, I want you to stay with us. We're going to go to a quick break. And just ahead, we look at what other political races are bringing the heat across the country. And our bloggers remember Mildred Loving. In 1967, she and her husband spurred the Supreme Court to finally overturn laws forbidding interracial marriage. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We are continuing our discussion on Tuesday's primary races with Democratic strategist Donna Brazile and Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. Now, Donna, I am going to go straight to you. You have been quiet on who you plan on backing as a superdelegate, but you also said on TV that you're not undecided, you are just undeclared. So when are you going to tip your hand?
As soon as I believe it's important that we unify the party, look, I want to be able to talk to my friends on the Clinton side as well as my friends on the Obama side and say, okay, how do we get along? How do we pull this party back together? I'm not interested in using my vote as a superdelegate to hurt, demonize, or denigrate one candidate over another. I tell people as a African-American woman, I'm comfortable with both candidates, and I would like to, at the end of the day, help to unify the party.
Ron, when you look at the Republican race, Senator McCain just hasn't gotten as much press because he's not contesting anyone at this point. What do you think he's going to do specifically on these populist issues like the economy that seem to be driving voters' attention?
Well, Senator McCain has been using his time while the Democrats have sucked all the oxygen out of the room to travel to different constituencies in different areas of the country that not only perhaps have not seen a Republican candidate for office visit, but particularly not one running for president of the United States. And I'm thinking specifically, of course, on the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, for Senator McCain to show up and give a speech on civil rights in Memphis, and for his swing through rural areas, Hispanic areas, and try to diversify the Republican base. That's one of the ways that Senator McCain has the best shot of taking on the eventual Democratic nominee, Farai, which is to appeal to those independent voters, appeal to those who perhaps have not had been asked for the vote, and also to make the opportunity that his economic plan is better. And looking specifically on the economics of it all, Senator McCain said that now he wants to extend the Bush tax cuts, which for so many years did a lot to revitalize the economy. But he has to be very careful. If he aligns himself too closely with the Bush administration, with the slowdown in the economy, people are going to suggest that this would be a third term of the Bush administration. So he does need to differentiate himself on what he believes and how he is different than the president and why his vision is a different and a new vision for the country.
Donna, do you think that he has some shackles with the president, not basically having an almost legendary unpopularity rating at this point?
You know, what's interesting is that given the fight inside the Democratic Party, I don't see why John McCain is not winning by a landslide. In the most recent New York Times CBS poll, both Senator Clinton as well as Senator Obama has beaten Senator McCain. I think he has some fundamental structural problems. One is a president whose approval rating is now under 30%. Secondly, the Republican brand itself is in trouble. And while, you know, the media is focused on the Democratic divisions, there are some divisions still in the Republican Party. He needs to heal them. And on the substance of the matter, in terms of the issues, Iraq, the economy, health care, John McCain needs a makeover. Iraq is a pretty tough issue. Over 70% of the American people would like to see us withdraw to bring our troops home. They believe the mission has been accomplished, and it's time to, you know, bring our troops home and to let the Iraqi government heal their own wounds. On the economy, John McCain is finally trying to find his voice. Took him 3 weeks to come up with an answer, a credible answer on the housing crisis. So I don't think Democrats right now focus too much on John McCain because they know that time will come to go after John McCain to appeal the independents and maybe try to pick up some Republicans in the process.
All right, Donna, Ron, I want to turn to some congressional races. First off, two veterans on Capitol Hill could face tough competition. In New York, 13-term incumbent Congressman Adolphus Towns will face author and activist Kevin Powell. Powell was one of the original cast members of MTV's Real World and got into hot water for an expletive-filled fight with one of his white castmates. Now he has moved on and focused on ending sexism among black men. He ran against Towns 2 years ago but dropped out of the race early. Towns only won 47% of the vote during a three-way race in 2006. Now, Ron, could Towns be in trouble?
I think he could be. And as partisan as a Republican as I am, I had the opportunity to work with Congressman Towns and his staff in my nearly decade of service on Capitol Hill. He's a very nice man, a very likable man, very intelligent man. But the voters have the opportunity every 2 years, if they're not happy with their candidates, to cast them aside. Mr. Powell has made an impassioned plea to seek the vote from his constituents to be. And while I think that Mr. Towns will ultimately prevail in this contest if everything holds up the way that it is now, you can never rest on your laurels, and that's one thing that got the Democrats in trouble when they lost in 1994, and that's what got us in trouble when we lost a couple of years ago, which is taking the electorate for advantage. And I think it's good to have some of these members who have been there for 20, 30 years or more to be pushed from younger people, individuals who want to have a fresh chance and a fresh opportunity to express their ideas. I think it's great for the process.
Donna, a while back we had NAACP board chair Julian Bond and Kevin Powell debating issues of generational leadership in the black community. And I asked Chairman Bond, you know, are you going to pass the mantle from the civil rights generation or do people have to come up and take it? And he was like, take it, you know, basically bring it on. Is this a case where someone like Kevin Powell is bringing it?
Look, I think Kevin Powell represents a new voice, perhaps a new style of leadership. And there's no question that over the next couple of months, we're going to see new people emerge. As we end this presidential contest, I'm reminded of the 84 Jackson campaign, where Jesse Jackson fertilized the political landscape. And what came of that was a new generation of black leaders who wanted to have their voice at the table, many of them now serving in Congress. So, yes, the Kevin Powells of the world will begin to find their path to political office. And for Congressman Towns and many others on Capitol Hill, this is a new day. And I think they should recognize that not only is it time for a new generation of leadership, but it's time that we have an agenda. I mean, it's not just about personalities. Ron and I might sit here as Republicans and Democrats and disagree on personalities. But if we sat down and say, we got to fix our schools, it's time that we provide real job education opportunities for our youth. If we could sit here and come up with ideas that would motivate people to back our plan, that's what we need more than we need just new faces. We need a roadmap to help black people in the 21st century be able to cope in a global economy.
Ron, I was looking at a picture that ran in Atlanta magazine during the whole 40th anniversary of Reverend King's assassination, and it showed a woman in this beautiful old knit suit with her hat on, kneeling on a protest sign, carrying another protest sign, just the most dignified woman, like so many who went out, you know, everyone from teenagers to sharecroppers to, you know, middle class and upper middle class black people joined together around the civil rights movement. What would it take to have some kind of a movement that was bipartisan and that had a focus?
I think, candidly, you look at someone like Dr. Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta Scott King. They were once-in-a-lifetime inspirational figures who were able to galvanize the support of people, white, black, poor, rich, because they had a message that resonated in it. And it goes to what Donna said a few moments ago. It's not so much the people who were involved, but it's the message that resonates, that captivates the imagination and then sparks the interest. And I think, candidly, you've seen a lot of that in the candidacy of Senator Obama. You're looking at millions of people who've never registered to vote before. You're looking at people across college campuses, people of all different demographics who are intrigued by his candidacy and want to learn more. So I think that we do need important young leaders to come up and to replace some of the folks who have been in positions of responsibility in our government. But it's the message and it's the resonance that this person is speaking for me. And, you know, as a last aside, you know, if Donna wants to sit out and pull out some of that famous gumbo of hers and she and I can sit out and pull some issues together, hey, I'm in.
Well, let me move on to one more race. There's 11-term Congressman John Lewis. He's running for election against two candidates, Georgia State Representative Mabel Thomas and 31-year-old activist Reverend Markel Hutchins. Both candidates have criticized Lewis for not initially supporting Hillary Clinton's campaign, and then Lewis later switched his superdelegate support to the Obama campaign. Now, when you think about this race, Donna, first of all, is there any chance Lewis will be unseated? And secondly, did he switch his support to save his House seat?
First of all, I have to tell you that John Lewis is one of my personal heroes. So it's very difficult to talk about what circumstances could unseat someone that I have so much admiration and respect. He is a moral voice of reason on voting rights. He is a symbol of an era that really took us from the dark ages into the light of the 21st century in terms of democracy. So for those who are thinking about going against John Lewis, just understand he is a nationally revered figure. He is someone that brings people together. He's an inspirational leader, and they will have to build a credible case to remove him from public office. I understand that people are making age comparisons. I'm 48, so I know there are people who are willing or ready to take my seat at the DNC, and let me tell you, it's a hot seat. Come and get it, because God knows some days I feel like passing it on. But in terms of John Lewis, back Hillary Clinton like many other black leaders who came out initially because they clearly knew the Clintons. They've worked with the Clintons. They have been involved with the Clintons. But when John Lewis saw his district go for Barack Obama, I believe he did the right thing in terms of his own politics. He said, look, my district went with Obama. I'm going with my people. I'm not going to sit here and say it's about, you know, the candidate that I've known when my people say it's the candidate that they want. And that's leadership. So it's not political opportunism. It's leadership because there are many people today who are saying, well, my people went with Obama and I'm going to stick with Clinton, or my people went with Clinton, I'm going to stick with Obama. So I know Mabel Thomas. She is a personal friend. She is a fierce organizer, tenacious leader. Hillary Clinton would have a great running mate in Mabel Thomas. And I'm sure if she takes on John Lewis, that will be a fight that I would like to witness. But I know where I would take my position, and that is in strongly encouraging John Lewis to fight the good fight, because he has always fought for justice and equality for all Americans.
Now, Ron, when it comes to this, considering we were just talking about intergenerational issues, do you think this is another case of those issues rearing their head?
Look, I think it's wrong if you're going to oppose Congressman Lewis. I mean, my objectivity is about as skewered as Donna's. He has been a revered figure, regardless of your politics or your political affiliation, and particularly for me, for being a young 20-something on the Hill back in the 90s, that he didn't care I was a Republican. All he cared was there was another young man trying to get involved in the political process, and he's been a mentor to so many of us. If you're going to try to unseat a lion like this from the civil rights movement, someone who provided opportunities for younger folks like myself and Donna to succeed, to go to school, to get an education, and to compete, if you're going to do it over switching your support from Senator Clinton to Senator Obama, I'd suggest that you need to find a real issue to focus on.
Well, on that note, Ron and Donna, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Democratic strategist Donna Brazile is an author and nationally syndicated columnist, and Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. Both joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.